Good to see everyone. Honestly, I know we're not quite there, but I'm glad that we are in the phase where we can start talking post-COVID. So, yes, it is. So it's just good to see more and more people coming and just to see all of you. So it's really good. So we've been talking about the series Celebrating the Resurrection. So, and today I'm going to be talking about the living hope in the resurrection, the living hope in the resurrection. Let's start off just talking about hope. One of the first things that I really knew I had hope in, I had hope when I was about 12 or 13. I saw a dark cherry red 66 Mustang, not 65, not 67, exactly what was on the 66 Mustang. I saw that thing drive by. I said, I hope I get one of those one day. I hope I get one of those one day. Well, and then I had no idea. We lived in New Orleans. My grandfather lived in Seattle. So, I mean, I think the last time I'd visited him in Seattle, he'd come and see us. I was probably 8 years old, 7, 8 years old. So I didn't know what type of cars he had. Well, he comes down, he hears me say that my dream car is a 66 Mustang. And he goes, well, is that because I have one? And he's like, no, you have one? He says, yes. Yes, I have one. And so long story short, when it got given to my dad, but basically to be handed on to me. But when I was 16, I was probably 17. But anyway, it got given to me. And I got a 66 Mustang. I got what I hoped for. It was, you know, at the time, that was an amazing, amazing thing. That car that I'd hoped for is what I got. So we have a thing about hope. So question is, are you a hopeful person? And I think most of us would say yes. You ask me that question, I'd say yes. I'm a hopeful person. Again, I've experienced hope like that and had things come through. I am a hopeful person, generally speaking, but then I was reading some stuff on this and reading what someone else said, and this is sort of taken a bunch of these questions. Most of these are theirs, but do you live from day to day with the great hope and expectancy for the future? And I believe yes, but are you weighed down by the feeling of dread, defeat, and despair? Sometimes. Are you living in a fallen world? Yes. Whether we speak of heart disease, diabetes, COPD, or the dreaded cancer, yes, we are. There's problems of poverty, crime, lack of education, joblessness, and all types of other things, they're there. So now that I set that up, are you a hopeful person? It's easy to say yes. But with things that go on around us, it can be tough sometimes to truly live in that. Even if you're in a general state of hopefulness, sometimes all you do is go drive down the street and it can take your hope away. Maybe, depending where you are with it, maybe just going to work takes your hope away. Maybe for some people, going home might take their hope away. Whatever it is, there's, even if we are in a general state of saying I'm hopeful, there are still things that sometimes take our hope away. And so really, with all the other stuff, we can add to all that, we can add drunkenness, drugs, murder, abortion, adultery, sexual immorality, perversion. We are reminded that we live in a less than perfect world. And even sometimes those things we hope and we pray for, we go, maybe they will never happen. I'm just being straight. So you might say, hold on, I thought you were going to talk about hope. And now you got me all unhopeful. But I don't want to start off making you feel hopeless. But the thing is I think we need to get a good reality when we're talking about this. Because if we feel hopeless, what's usually going on is we're often putting our hope in the wrong person or the wrong thing. Yeah, in the wrong place. And that's often what's going on. And those things can bother us, but where are we putting our hope? So what is hope? What should we hope for? What does hope do for us? Things, if you need help walking through that, we're here as a church. We are all, the Christian message is all about hope. We are more than willing to walk you through that, whether that be here up at the altar, while you take communion, a person sitting next to you, go have coffee together with somebody in the church, or even just helping someone through that long term. That's what we're here for, not only as pastors, but even the rest of the congregation. We're all here called to help people walk through and find that message of hope, find the hope in the resurrection. So what are the things that we often say we have hope in things, but what are some of the things that you put your hope in? And I'm not looking for the church answers. I'm not looking for the church answers. You know, of course, Jesus and other stuff. What are some of the things we put our hope in? Yeah. Hopefully he paid the bill. And Jesse, by the way, this morning, he probably had hope that he had electricity and found out that there's a power outage. So just interesting that you bring that up. Hope that we turn the light on. What else? What are some other things we put hope in? Money. Yes, money. We do. And I think there's a certain amount of proper, you know, of course, the root of money is love of, our love of money is root of all evil. But yeah, there's a certain amount of hope. What else? Any? I'm not even going to go there, Michelle. Trying to live. That's a good joke. Yeah, that's a good joke. Yes. Hope in your health. In good health, yes. Hope in your good health. That's a good one, yes.
And a job.
And a job, yeah. Yeah. That's great. These are great answers. And the thing is that, except for maybe the TriMet lift, all these things I'd say that we could probably generally hope in. And the thing is, and I just had here in my notes, Sonia brought up one of them, but I put my hope in money. I put the hope that if I go to work, I can get money to pay gas. So, you know, nothing wrong in having that type of hope there. I put my hope in treating others correctly. If I treat people right, they're going to treat me right. And most of the time that works. Sometimes it doesn't. But there are those types of hope. And this type of hope is even talked about in the Bible. In Romans 15:24, it says, I hope to see you in passing. In 1 Corinthians 16:7, I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. Philippians 2:19, I hope the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. Those things are definite. It's not like we have this assurance. He doesn't know what, you know, Paul's saying these things, doesn't know whether they're going to come to true, but he hopes to. And so it's the type of hope is talked about in the Bible. But today, I just want to tell you, when we're talking about the hope in the resurrection, we're talking about something a little different. Something a little different than that hope. 1 Peter 1:5 through 3, we're going to talk about the hope that's talked about there. That says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Key word there, living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. This is a living hope. A living hope. So the thing is, that word there, what it's saying here in the Greek, I just love it. It's saying that this living hope is that this hope that's being talked about here, it says that it would be that it has a vital power within itself. So this hope has its own power. It's a powerful hope. It has its own power that's separate from everything else. That hope put in the prop for that living hope we have in Jesus Christ has power to it. It's not this empty hope. I hope our new president does well. I hope the trash company picks up my trash early today. You know, not that, it's not those types of empty things that are just hopeful. There's something more to this hope that's being talked about here. It's living, it has power. So it's not, I hope to get to work safely. I hope my vacation goes well. I hope that fuel prices go down, right? It is something that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This living hope that we have can never spoil, perish, or fade. Also says here in this passage that it's kept in heaven, shielded by God's power. So what that tells me is the hope, if we put our hope in the right place, there is nothing that can take that hope away. That those things are sure. They're absolute. Fuel prices are not absolute. How people will treat us is not absolute. Whether our brand new roof is going to stay on is not absolute. But this is absolute. Absolute. It is shielded by God's power. So Roger Holderman, which a lot of the stuff I got here, just give him credit, as I was looking through and going, oh man, I want to do this, this, and this, and I ran across something he wrote, and I'm like, oh, that's sort of, it's almost sort of really what I want to do. So I took a lot of this from him. But he wrote, without the Lord, one is hopeless. Archaeologists have excavated tombs from the time that the New Testament was written, and the pagans would generally have depressing inscriptions of hopelessness on their tombs. Death and what existed after death was a mystery, and they imagined only gloom and despair. In contrast, the followers of Christ were filled with hope and anticipation for the future. The inscriptions on their tombs were characterized by great comfort and hope. So what should we hope for? What should we put our hope in? Any guesses? Well, here we have celebrating the resurrection. There we go. We should put our hope and our trust, our faith in the resurrection. In the resurrection. The resurrection. So why? Hope is talked about all through the New Testament. All through the New Testament, this hope is talked about. Here we have Romans 15, 12 and 13 says, and again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up. One will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you and all with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. To overflow with hope. To overflow with hope. How can you have this hope? Here it says, I think could throw us off. It says that hope and a ruler over the nations. We don't tend to, do you put much hope in? I mean, I know some people do more than others. I've gotten to the point politically, I don't put much hope in whoever the leader is. Trust me, I still vote. I believe in the process. I'm not saying anti whatever, but still, I've just gone, hey, yeah, I hope for the best, and that's about it. Yeah, I don't think any person's going to come and save everything. But so looking at that, right on the surface, that wouldn't encourage me. Just that I'm going to put my trust and my hope in something like that. So to me, there has to be something even more than that. Because, you know what, leaders over nations and myself, and probably, I'm not trying to offend anyone, but probably all of you, we mess up. We mess things up. So this hope is a little different than just putting hope in a leader. So 1 Peter 3:18 really starts to hone in here. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in body, but made alive in spirit. That's the hope we're talking about. Amen. That's the hope that we're talking about. For what you couldn't do, Christ died for that, so that we could have hope, so that we could have a living hope, an alive hope, something that's good, something, and it says for the sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. So it's a hope that no matter how much I mess up, because trust me, I mess up. I guarantee you, I'm going to tell, because there's already so many of you I've done this to, I'm going to tell you, I'll call you, I'll send you an email, and guess what? I'll forget. I'll just let you know. I'll let you know, I'll forget. I'm going to mess up. And it's good to know. I'm just letting you know, I'm going to mess up. And it's so comforting to know that I have a hope that all those things, whether big or small, forgetting a phone call most of the time is small, but still, the big things, the small things, there's hope. There is hope. The living hope in the resurrection has power. So Revelation 1, 17 through 18, I believe Anya talked about this one last week, a little bit different context, but I think so. But when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. They're talking about Jesus. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Yeah, that's an amen to me. So to think, this is not, it is not an empty hope. This passage here is just so amazing to me to think that Jesus would reach down and touch, put his hand on my shoulder and say, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Then that wouldn't necessarily be the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, whatever you want to say, saying basically I'm all powerful. I don't know. Don't be afraid, but I'm the all powerful God. It's like, well, to me that's a little funny because like that would scare me even more. But don't be afraid. Yeah, I'm the all powerful God, but don't be afraid. But just amazing, amazing. This is the hope. He was dead and now he is alive, and he holds the keys to that sin and death, to death and Hades. He holds the keys to that. He's the one who determines. And guess what? He decided that if you give your life to him, that has no more control over you. To me, that's an amazing hope. And this is why most Christianity celebrates Sunday as our celebration instead of Saturday, the Sabbath. It's because we are celebrating this hope. Every Sunday when we meet, that's the pinnacle of what we're doing. We're celebrating the hope into the resurrection, the hope that Jesus rose from the dead, and all that that means, that's what we're here to celebrate. Yeah, we do. We learn more. Do we fellowship? Do we enter the presence of God? But ultimately, the Sunday morning service is about celebrating the resurrection. And even later, one of the ways we celebrate that is through communion. We'll be taking communion later, a way to celebrate that. So it's an amazing thing. One thing is that hope is always something in the future. So what does this living hope promise us? Life. If it's something in the process, life and life everlasting. Yes. What does it promise us? I'm going to just go through some things that it promises us. John 4, 14, 2 through 3 says, "I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." Amen. Yes, amen. That's so powerful. I mean, think about it. That's so powerful that God promises that. He promises that he's going to come for us. Come and grab us and redeem us where we can be with him. God promises us a resurrected, glorified body. Resurrected, glorified body. Now, yeah, I hear some people going, woo, and I get it, but it says our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So guess what? Whatever, say for I'm 50, I owned a moving company, delivered plants, my knees hurt. I get migraine headaches sometimes. We have people here who are blind. We have my wife who's disabled. We have so many people in our congregation. And by the way, we believe wholeheartedly God has called us to minister to those, but people with mental health problems. And that's exciting to me. That's a hope that whether, no matter how great or little, how much or how little we can help people right here, there's a hope that those people will one day have a glorified body and be able to celebrate with Jesus and be whole, and be whole. To me, that's exciting. Those things are exciting. Those are ultimately hope. And in fact, that's often the hope that if I ever pray for you and there's, you know, something and you see the hope and the excitement in me, is because you know what I know? I know that even if God doesn't heal Colleen right now, if I were to pray for her, I know she is going to be healed. And that can make me pray with excitement and fervor, because I know that that's ultimately, there's a hope, there's a living hope of assurance that I know that Colleen is going to see someday. Amen. This is exciting. This living hope that we have, the living hope in the resurrection and everything that it means. Now, Colleen, I think, was getting at is that God promises us through the hope in the resurrection, eternal life. In Titus 1 through 3, it says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of truth that leads to godliness and the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Amen. He has promised that those people who turn to him will have eternal life. That's amazing. And here, there's all types of spiritual blessings. I'm not going to give all the scriptures. If you want the references, I can give them to you. But you tell I'm excited. This is an exciting thing, and I don't even know how I can convey the excitement behind this. But there's things, there's the hope of glory of God, that we will be glorified along with Jesus. That it says that there's the hope laid up in heaven for us. It's already there. There's the hope of righteousness, the hope of salvation. There's hope that there's a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. All the things that in this earth, all the problems that we see, the homelessness, drug addiction, all that will not be there. We have a hope. We have a hope in the coming paradise of God, that there's a paradise that we will be living in. We have a hope that we can partake in the streams of water, the streams of living water of life. The tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, we have a promise that we're going to be there at the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden. It says that we'll have right robes, the crown of glory of righteousness on our head. We will have blessed fellowship with everyone else who's been redeemed, all those people who've gone before us. And again, I'm not trying to get any sovereign sympathy, but my dad just passed away last week. And I have a living hope that I will one day be able to fellowship with my dad again and with all the holy angels. There will be a perfect environment and perfect surroundings. There will be no more mourning, crying, or pain, or death. At that time, yeah, I know. At that time, on that special day, we will always be with the Lord. That, to me, is one of the biggest things, is that I can always be with the Lord for the rest of my life. Tell you what, that's a hope I can get excited about. And when we come, and often I would say when we come and you see people excited, if Anya's leading worship or someone else or Todd, this is our amen corner over here, they get excited. And it's because there's this hope. There's this living hope to get excited about. Living hope to get excited about. Even before all this hope came through, I'll tell you, you read, I'm going off my notes here, but you read in the Old Testament, there's some of the, I used to know a song that said, Shabbat, Hallelujah, Barak, praise the Lord, but some of those things, some of those were, say, like jumping around in a circle and jumping up and down and shouting as loud as you could. So the thing is, and that was even before, that was truly, they didn't even really know what the hope was. They just knew that there was some hope. We know what and who and how the hope works. They didn't even know it. And they had, and the Israelites would celebrate in joy. Tell you, there is power in the resurrection. There is power in the resurrection. So how does this help you? I think being hopeful in anything helps us. Be able to be positive about anything helps us. just hope in general. We engage life better if we're hopeful. But this hope is something more. That's why I didn't, was originally part of my notes to talk more about it. But I thought, no, I'd rather just focus on what the hope we really have. There's so much I could say about that. How does this hope help us? It should bring you comfort. It should bring you comfort. Because, sort of how I started off, if we put our hope in all the things around us, it's going to fail. Government leaders are going to fail us. Our, hopefully not in any big way, but our friends and our spouses, our kids, our parents, they're going to fail us. Our monetary system's going to fail us. Our jobs are going to fail us. I could go on and on and on. They're going to fail us. But here we can, this hope in 1 Peter 1, 6-9. Because after it talks about this living hope, it says, in all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Again, it started off talking about you're going to go through some bad stuff. But we can have this joy because in the end result, we are going to receive the salvation of our souls. Salvation of our souls. To me, that's exciting. That's what we're celebrating here today. Sunday mornings, generally, that is what we are celebrating. That's what we're going to be celebrating here with communion here in a minute. We're going to be celebrating this joy, this hope that we have. And so just as we do that, I think it's always good for us to last year, a little over a year ago, we went through a series on lament. There is something to taking an honest look. Just being honest. Honest when we talk about hope, we can be just trying to be hopeful in things that maybe, you know, we're just having a false reality. Again, the hope that government's going to take care of all of our problems is a false reality. It just is. Nothing good or bad. You could have the best government in the world. So I think there's something to take in an honest look. And so I just want you, come and get communion on your own and take it. But as you're taking communion, I want you to just take an honest look and say, am I putting my hope in the wrong place? Because ultimately, we're putting our hope in those things in the future, in those things eternal, in those things that are sure and honest. This is something that is sure and honest and pure. So just take some time to reflect on that before you take communion. Lord, I just pray as excited as to me, there's exciting things and somber things to think about here. And I just pray right now that you would just speak to each one of us. Open our eyes. And sometimes even healthy, we just ignore the things around us. But Lord, help us today just take an honest look so we can truly celebrate what an amazing thing you did for us through your resurrection. Amen.